for you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. The Three Faces of God, Part 2. Yes. And so we've been in this series of looking at the three faces of God. The three ways of holding God, as introduced to us by Ken Wilber. Looking at the three persons, first, second, and third, which is easy for us to grasp with our early grammar. And so the first person of God, the first face of God, is the I. The great I am. The God within, the innermost God. The world that unity loves. This is our world, the world we embrace. The second face of God is in the second person, and that's you. And this is the personal, intimate God, that God relationship that Buber refers to as I and thou. I and you, I and thou. It's intimate. It's the beloved other. And then there's the third face of God, which is God in the third person, and we explored that in our last lesson. And that's infinite God. God everywhere present. God out there. Divine, the great web of life. And in our last lesson, we explored that this is the world that most of the Western world is comfortable with, most of Christianity is comfortable with, this infinite God. And what is our exploration is to not eliminate any of these three faces of God, for they are all not only correct, but they are all vitally important to our spiritual wholeness. And what was described to us, what I reviewed last week, was how religions tend to be comfortable in one world, maybe two, to the exclusion of the third. And we do that in unity as well. I admitted that I unitize things. I look at languaging, what is most congruent with what we claim. But in unity, we tend to look at that first face of God to the exclusion of all else, to the exclusion of infinite God, and to the exclusion of that intimate God. And so today, we're going to explore what is the most uncomfortable face of God, and that is that personal, beloved other. Now, some of you may be thinking, I'm not uncomfortable with that. I don't know what she's talking about. I get that. But to help us perhaps identify with that, we have a couple folks, Mary Ellen and Aaron, who are going to exhibit this for us through a conversation. And so these are two friends who have, Aaron has been traveling, and he's back, and he's going to share with Mary Ellen all about his trip.
Hi, Aaron. It's Mary Ellen.
Hello, Mary Ellen.
It's so good to have you back in town. Tell me all about your trip.
Oh, I can't wait to show you my new shoes. Well, we visited temples and shrines and spent some time in an ashram.
Oh, my, that sounds fascinating. Tell me what all you did.
Well, we meditated in the morning, spent time in the silence alone, worked together in the kitchen, meditated in the afternoon, spent time in a holy circle. It was quite lovely and calming.
Wow, I'm so envious. I wish I could experience something like that. What else did you do?
I also learned to talk to Jesus.
Aaron, I think we've got a bad connection here. I'm not sure I understood what you said. What did you just say?
I said that I learned to talk to Jesus. I've made it a daily practice to set 20 minutes aside and talk to Jesus as my close personal friend. You know, like a conversation.
Oh, really? Well, How's that going?
Oh, it is so great. I wish I had started this practice years ago.
So you're talking to Jesus, like he's right there?
Yes. Just as if he's right here present with me. I mean, he is, after all.
Well, Aaron, you know, I think I need to go. Maybe we can catch up again later, okay? So, see ya.
Okay, bye.
Thank you very much. Now, in truth, we know that Mary Ellen probably would say, oh, I'm intrigued. Tell me more. But we can identify, can't we, with that little bit of discomfort. Because we can be standing in a line, perhaps at the grocery store, with perfect strangers, talking about meditation. We're thrilled. They're telling us about their practice. We're telling them about ours. And if they say, oh my goodness, I hope I get through line soon because it's almost time for me to talk to Jesus. We start backpedaling. We're looking through our purse. Maybe there's another line we can go to. There's truth in that, isn't there? And perhaps it's because it is so personal. Perhaps it is because, partly, that this conversation with Jesus has been abused. Perhaps we have been abused by being judged, feeling judged, feeling like we were sinners, and feeling that we had to bow down to. And that's not what the second face of God is about. In our last lesson, we talked that there was one word that really described infinite God, and that was reflection. And how we want to bathe in that world of reflection, of admiring the beauty of nature, admiring art, allowing our heart to be lifted. Last week, my favorite quote was from Mohandas, Mahatma Gandhi. When I admire the wonders of the sunset or the beauty of the moon, my soul expands in the worship of the Creator. My soul expands. And so we were invited last week to spend more time in reflection. Well, the one word that describes this second face of God is devotional. To be in that space of I and thou, feeling that connection, reveling in that space. And I understand part of us are hesitant to do that because we say God's within. I don't need to look out here. I don't need to speak to anything. It's right here. Yes, and God is infinite. God is intimate. And for many of us, that's what we missed with the infinite God. We missed that personal relationship. And so we're invited into that personal relationship. We yearn to have this connection, the connection that Aaron was talking about. Our heart hungers for a meaningful, deep connection. Part of our discomfort with the devotional might also come from we seek as a people to find those things that are alike. Do we not? We like to celebrate those things that we have that are the same. And when it comes to devotional, I sit in devotion, my mind automatically starts to paint a picture. After all, I'm manifesting a personal relationship, a physical picture or image. And my image may not look like your image, and your image might not look like his image. And we have discomfort with that. And so we invite ourselves to push past the differences, to be okay with our devotionals being different, for our own devotionals may change. That image that we hold may shift, may change for us personally. We may hold a picture of the Buddha in our mind and all the various forms of the Buddha that we find. We might hold a picture of Jesus. It might be the laughing Jesus. It might be the Jesus with children. It might be the Jesus with the crown of thorns, one that's difficult for me to hold. But it might hold comfort for you. Or it may be Ganesh, one of the Hindu deities. Our friend Nimesh Patel, you know, he shared with us when he left us, he was going to be traveling around the States a little bit, and then he was going to Israel, and he was going to South Africa. He received permission to spend the night here at the train station, the very train station that Gandhi had been forcibly removed from the train due to the color of his skin, even though he had a first-class ticket. Friends of Nemo's had actually arranged that he did a concert there, similar to what he did for us here. When we look at that picture, I see devotional. I know that he is in deep, deep connection. Yes, he's within himself, but he's also welcoming into that energy, the energy of someone that he considers a mentor, the energy of someone who represents so much of what Nemo wants to be and exhibits for the world. You know, Jesus is the one that defined for us this second face of God. He invited each one of us into personal relationship, into transforming personal relationship. For as we look at Scripture, yes, God is referred to as Father, Lord, Lord God. But Jesus also referred to this infinite face of God, this beloved other, as Abba. Abba in Sanskrit, the closest equivalent we have in the English language is daddy or papa. It's familiar. It's the most familiar form of father that you can find. As we turn to Scripture this morning, we're looking at the Gospel of Mark, the 14th chapter, and this is a difficult chapter. This is a difficult chapter for our hearts. For this is the scene of where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows what's about to happen. He's with his disciples. But in this state of knowing that the suffering that is about to occur, he does not distance himself from God. Instead, he says in the 36th verse, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Abba, Father, take this cup from me. That's why many say there was no suffering that occurred, for the cup of the experience was taken. But even in this, the night before what's about to happen, he is in this close, beloved other relationship. And we have modern day mystics that invite us to do the same. From the 21st century, we have an American author who's written over 20 books and priest, Brennan Manning. Define yourself radically as one beloved by God. This is the true self. Every other identity is an illusion. And from 16th century, a Spanish mystic and Carmelite nun, Saint Teresa of Avila, "Prayer is nothing else than being on terms of friendship with God." And from the 17th century, lay brother Carmelite, Brother Lawrence, "We should fix ourselves firmly in the presence of God by conversing with him all the time." And lastly, Rumi, "What you seek is seeking you." What you seek is seeking you. Now, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, co-founders of the Unity Movement, were very comfortable with this second face of God, this devotional. Charles would often say when he had a question that he could not come up with the answer to. He was going to headquarters. He was going to headquarters, and that meant the chair was going to be placed before the hearth. He was going to spend time in communion. And Myrtle is known for placing two chairs facing one another and having all sorts of conversations with God, with Jesus. We know she conversed with her body, talking to it. She spoke to Jesus in such a personal way also. And when I learned of this many years ago, I dipped my toes into the world of devotional. And I used to spend a lot of time on the road in the work that I was doing. I was living in St. Petersburg, so when I would get to the top of the Sunshine Skyway, I would invite Jesus into my car. He sat right there in the passenger seat. And usually we'd have a little preliminary talk about what a beautiful day it was and what a good job God did, you know, because you're at the top of the skyway and you see the beautiful water and the clouds. And then because I was also attending some video lectures with some friends of mine who were following Indian guru Sai Baba, who was alive at that time. He passed away in 2011. I would sometimes invite Sai Baba because Sai Baba was known for also loving Jesus. He would put up Christmas lights at Christmas time. When you see pictures of Sai Baba, he has wild black hair standing out and bright orange robe, and he's almost always laughing. So I would invite him as well, but he would never go in the back seat. He'd always insist on sitting on Jesus' lap. So mostly this was time of joy and laughter, but that's how I dipped my toes into this world. For in unity, we claim, do we not, that death holds no power over us, for we just move from one side of the veil to the other, from one plane to the other. And many of us have had and continue to have experiences of being aware of loved ones who've passed, who've moved on beyond this veil, and be able to communicate, to feel their presence, to receive messages. And so it is within our scope of belief that we can sit in connection with the beloved other and hold conversation within our mind. If we're all connected and we're all one, this is part of our spirituality. It's part of our spiritual wholeness, not to be avoided, but to be embraced. Paul Smith, who's a colleague of Ken Wilber's, has a book that will be, I believe it will be published next month. It's called, Is Your God Big Enough, Close Enough, You Enough, Jesus and the Three Faces of God. He describes five steps for us to be in devotional. The first is to welcome the beloved other into that time, into that space, to welcome the beloved other. Then to connect heart to heart and cross that threshold of devotional. And then to sit in quiet awareness. You are aware of the beloved other. The beloved other is aware of you. And then to hold that conversation back and forth, whatever comes to your heart and your mind. And then to sit as infinite being and bask in that space. And so just as I invited you in the last lesson to open your arms to reflection, this week I invite you to open your arms to devotional and know that I'm traveling that path with you. Thank you, my friends. This is Reverend Debrie Toms. If you felt spiritually fed by this lesson, please feel free to hit the Donate Now button. And if you are ever in our area here in Key West, please drop in. God bless you on your journey.